everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O-Rock.
How you doing, Michael?
I've got to get, like, a secondary writer so I can boss someone around.
Look, we don't have money in the budget for a third person on our team.
That's okay, I guess.
Can barely afford each other.
So, maybe have someday. We made any progress this past month? I feel like I have made very little progress with my writing.
Oh no. Oh, I've made some progress. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
That's good, that's good. Yeah. I've been writing Pride and Prejudice and Murder, which is a project I'm doing with not you, and it's just been very, very slow. I guess this is a game where I've got long, like, 30-page chapters, and so it's just been taking forever. Let me see how long these chapter counts are.
I feel like slow for you is writing, like, only 4,000 words a day or something.
It's more like taking, I think it took me a week to, I just managed to finish earlier today, was, write good ending and write bad ending. That was it. I just had to write one page for a good ending and one page for a bad ending. And then what took longer is I went back and had to rewrite. There's like a love triangle, and so I guess picking the other person in the love triangle causes huge amounts of changes to the ending, which is weird because it's basically I'm just writing over the thing I've already written and should only have to change the parts that deal with the love triangle, but it still took hours. So, yay!
You'll get there. Even small progress is still progress, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Still better than nothing. Next I get to rewrite the final chapter with a second narrator. I'm trying to wonder whose idea it was to have two different narrators per chapter, because rewriting each chapter with a different narrator, just it shouldn't be that hard, but it is.
So is this another choice game? Is that what you're working on?
Yeah, it's a multiple or is this, choice or choose your own adventure game, cool. I think.
Yeah. Is Pride and Prejudice and Murder like the name? Is that the final name, you think?
I think that's a final name. Yeah.
Yes. I like it a lot. That's why I was asking. It's extremely good.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I've only got a chapter and a half to finish, and then I'll be done with writing the project. Until we get to the fun part where we, what's the word? Revision. That'll be fun. And get to see how, my co-author stuff doesn't at all match with mine. I'm sure there'll be continuity errors everywhere, and it'll be so obvious that we switched authors at one point, and I'm just preemptively complaining. So.
Well, that's good. Set your expectations low, so maybe they won't be that bad, and you'll be happy about it.
What do you mean you have a completely different murder victim? No!
Oh, no. Well, then you have two different games, right? One is the alternate universe version of your first game. That's all that means.
Oh, okay. That's
or you,
do.
Have two
okay.
different... Or you get a choice at some point in the beginning of the game where you decide who you want to have killed off.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I think I was thinking about that a very long time ago when I was still, like, toying with the idea of a Life in the Dorms follow-up. I wanted to do Life in the Dorms 2, Death in the Dorms. And the way I was going to set it up was I was going to have a fan vote to see which character from the first game dies. And then that's sort of the murder mystery. That's sort of what the storyline would follow from that. Obviously never followed up on that idea, but
that was something. A great title though. I would have liked it.
Yeah, I think it was my mom's idea actually.
get her as the writer number three, I guess.
Yeah.
She's got good ideas. So yeah, so what's your progress been? Because I've just been trying to finish this game. That's basically it's been my project forever. I think it's like been last August or something when I first.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Anyway, we've been working on it for over a year. I'm glad that I'm finally getting somewhere close to finished with it, but also dreading the fact that this is like only part one. Then we have revision and everything. I don't know, is it a good idea for us to, like, be writing the different pathways separately, I guess, and then just come back together when we're done with our separate things? Or is it gonna bite us in the butt? I don't know, stay tuned.
I feel like that's how, like companies that make visual novels, I feel like they do it that way, right? I think they have writers that work on the different pathways to, you know, make the production go faster. Instead of one person writing all, like, 60 hours of the game or whatever, they have, you know, a team of people each taking different pathways.
I guess. Is that what happened with Phoenix Wright? And that's why the new games are also different than, like, the original trilogy, which was all written by the one guy?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. They could have, like... I know the newer ones, like, you have different pathways starring different characters, so it could be, like, one person writes the Phoenix pathways, one person writes the Apollo pathways. I'm just talking out of my butt, though. I don't know if that's how they specifically did it. But I know that is, in general, how other companies of VNs do it.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. That would make it a lot faster. But then the problem would be, just, like, continuity errors, I guess. But
yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's why other visual novels would do it like Cat President style, where most of the pathways are just mostly very separate and there's not too much crossover.
Yeah. Well, you still have to worry about, like, style and consistency and all that stuff that, and just in general, making sure people are spelling words the same way, using punctuation the same way. That'd be a fun job for an editor to deal with, I suppose. But yeah, it would be fairly straightforward with a game like Cat President, since the individual storylines don't really intersect in any way at all.
Now the characters occasionally show up in each other's pathways. I think I tried to make that happen at least once. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like the events in one pathway are happening in another pathway. Like they're very, very divergent in that respect. But yeah, you'd have to worry about stuff like, if I'm working on the Frisky pathway and you're working on a pathway that Frisky appears in, I need to make sure that you don't introduce any elements of Frisky's backstory that contradict whatever I'm working on. Things like that.
Oh, he's got a French accent now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's a perfect gentleman in your pathway. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's ruined.
Actually, that reminds me, I think this was a piece of advice I forgot to send you when I was playtesting Cat President 2, was... there's the one chapter in the one pathway where we visit several cities, like Boston and New York.
Yes, yes.
And was there background art for that?
Oh, yeah, that should be fixed now, yeah. That was... I had weird issues with the names of the files, I think. In those pathways, I forget exactly. Oh, I think it was because I named, like, the mayor character would be, like, Boston Mayor, and then the background would be, like, also called Boston, and that would screw things up because they both started with the same word. So I think I changed it, but it wasn't changed in the version I sent to you, where, like, the files were still labeled incorrectly or something. That's all fixed now.
Oh, good. I was going to say, I never quite figured out how to do that, so I just do Boston _ mayor.
Oh, that would have been smart. I didn't think to
because
do that.
I can't be bothered to figure out how that's actually supposed to be done.
Yeah. I forget. I came up with some, like, really annoying workaround that was kind of confusing, if I recall, But yeah, that's all taken care of now. I had a lot of fun with those backgrounds, too. You missed out on some quality Photoshop, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, good, because I was going to say, if you didn't have the backgrounds, you should probably, like, email our fans, and I'm sure somebody has a silly picture of New York or Chicago, right? The fountain.
Chicago, Mew York, Catlanta. Yeah. No, believe me, there is silly. I definitely am like, I don't know if this has come across to you while you've been testing the game, but I feel like I've definitely ramped up the silly photoshopping in this game. I've definitely added stuff to like almost every background in the game. And halfway through development, you remember how Cat President, like, I would sneak, like, whenever there was a photo in the wall, I would sneak in, like, I would change it to a photo of a cat.
Yeah.
And, like, those were all pictures that our fans and supporters had sent in. And I've always been trying to figure out ways to work more of those photos into these games. It occurred to me about halfway through the development, like, I don't need to just do portraits on the wall. I could just put cats hanging around in the background and it would totally make sense. So I finally started doing that. There's like a scene I'm working on it right now. It's a recording studio. There's just like a cat sitting on top of a light fixture sleeping. There's one where you can kind of see a cat poking its head out of a bed. It's kind of hidden there. Kind of stuff. The airport, there's a cat sitting in a chair in the waiting area licking itself.
Gross. I love the airport where you had the, the luggage return, and there was just a dog sitting on the luggage return, just going around in circles. I like to imagine.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So, yeah, I've been trying to play around with more like that just to, I don't know, assuage any criticism of our artwork once again being lazy. Like, look, I'm clearly doing lots of work. I'm not just taking pictures and then that's it. I'm doing stuff to them too. There's effort, I promise. And it just makes me laugh. So, speaking of Cat President 2, would you like the monthly update on that game?
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm now on about halfway through the last pathway, the last normal regular pathway. Okay. So now we're getting much closer, yeah. So half of the final pathway and then the bonus pathway to go.
That's good. I totally forget how soon we released the first game relative to the election.
Oh, it was in August last time, and I don't think it'll be August this time.
Oh, no.
It'll be fine. I mean, I guess it could be, but I'm not willing to stand behind that at the moment. I mean, unless we do what I was saying before and release the bonus pathway as something that is added to the game later. But it'll be before the election. I'm pretty confident about that at this point. Let's see. I didn't really have a lot of like specific things to talk about with Cat President this much, unfortunately. I guess one thing I wanted to mention, this weird problem that I've come up with in almost every pathway. When we were putting the initial script together, somehow I let it slip that both the first chapter in each pathway is almost always in one area, like the conference, the convention that they're at. And then, so the first chapter is entirely in that screen, and then a lot of the times the second chapter is also entirely on that screen. So I've had to, like, come up with these, like, weird reasons why the characters move to a different screen, move to a different area each time, just so it's not two full chapters of staring at one cat in one background. Like, I think in this one, it was, I made the characters go outside, because the stench of the convention center was starting to get to them. It smelled like all the different candidates, the politicians, hadn't licked themselves in a while, something like that.
I saw in the last pathway, character just blacked out or something and got pulled into a closet.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's been a weird thing. I didn't really think of something. I'll try to pay more attention to in future script design, I suppose, is that to make sure we're changing backgrounds fairly frequently.
Yeah, I try to remember. I'm totally forgetting how it happened in First Cat President, because I thought in First Cat President, It's some sort of debate. Our character goes to a debate, and then all six characters want her to be their campaign manager.
Yeah.
So it's sort of natural, because that's where you are when you made the choice. It seems sort of natural, like, okay, that's where you are after you make the decision and you first talk to the person. Yeah. Although I think in the previous game, we kind of switched it up. Like, sometimes they met in the green room, or sometimes they met in the hallway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it doesn't bother me that much that each of the pathways starts in the same screen. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's just when the second chapter is also in that screen that I'm like, oh man, I gotta move these characters somewhere. I gotta put them in an elevator. I gotta shove them in a closet. We gotta do something. People are gonna complain if I don't. I don't know. I'm putting too much weight on that one stupid review on Kotaku. of Cat President 1, where they said the game was just a slideshow. I'm still bothered by that 4 years later.
It's okay. I'm still bothered by Mermaid Mission Titanic. Yeah, you search for it. That's still the number one result. It's Mermaid Mission Titanic, worst Titanic game ever.
Oh, jeez. Oh no.
Oh no, no, and now YouTube's auto-playing the video when you hover over it. Just see some guy complaining about how terrible it is.
Oh wow, yeah. Oh man, it's a whole 10-minute video on how much he hates your game. Wow, that's rough.
That's like a it's just like the Let's Play disaster is what it looks like.
It is.
Oh well, it's got an 86% positive review rate on Steam. So
okay. Oh yeah, look at that. Oh, you got a bunch of reviews on there. That's not bad. That's more than some of our games.
Well, it's free.
Yeah, it's more than Life in the Dorms though, which is also free.
Oh man, yeah, but Life in the Dorms requires an actual controller.
It's true. It's true. People were put off by that.
Wow, somebody actually wrote a walkthrough for this game. That's amazing. The puzzles are easy and you can just keep guessing until you get the right answer, but in case you're like super lazy and then they put down what the answer is.
Let's see. The other thing about Cat President, we talked about this in email a while ago, but I just thought it was funny that when I was working on the fifth pathway, and the main character's parents appear. I guess they appear in a couple of different pathways. But I had to make the executive decision that the main character's mom is now a cat instead of a human. Mainly because the pictures I got for the model for the mom, they came out really bad, and I didn't want to use them.
Yeah, they didn't work in combination with the father right?
They were just all blurry. The lighting was rough. I think there were like two pictures out of eight that were usable. So if anyone's playing the game in the future and wants to know why is the main character's mother a cat, anyway, that's sort of the reason there.
Yeah. I think I posted recently, I feel like I should redo all the pictures from Pizza Delivery Boy to Save the World now that I have a big burly beard and Future Doug had a little tiny beard.
I don't
want
to have to edit all those pictures.
But no. Yeah, that's a lot of work for very little payoff.
Yeah, it's wild. Like I definitely spend too long editing the character art for these games, just trying to make everything look perfect, and I shouldn't, but I like doing it. It's a very sort of meditative work removing the backgrounds from people's pictures.
And if you don't, you get angry reviews on Kotaku.
Yeah, oh, don't get me started.
Now you get slightly fewer angry reviews.
Yeah, well, I'm not sending that guy a review code again, that's for sure. Show you. Yeah, that's sort of where we're at with Cat President 2. We're you know, hitting some pretty exciting times at this game right now, I think. Internet Court, I don't have a ton to report. I have now 17 pages left in the Word document to edit and code. So, you know, kind of slowly but surely wading through it.
Did you figure out a faster way to get through
No.
the subtitles or whatnot?
No, I thought of some good ideas for the future, but if I were to implement them, they would involve remaking all of the subtitles in the game so that everything matched. So I can't change now, unfortunately. But I had some thoughts. Yeah, we're getting close. The thing that's getting really complicated right now is that in most of the pathways, you have one main character, and it's just that one main character who can mess up and get strikes in the courtroom. Like, you know, the judge tells them off because they did something bad and they get a strike. In this pathway, I'm up to four different characters that can get strikes, so I have to pay attention to that quite a bit. Each time a new video plays, it has to check all of the characters to see if they have strikes and how many strikes, and then display them in various configurations on the screen.
Oh no, who's the fourth character?
It's the witness. There's one scene so far where the witness can get a strike for arguing
okay.
with
that
the defense.
That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. So, slightly complicated, but hey, it's the fourth pathway. It should be complicated. I mean, the final case.
Yeah, so that's the Manfred von Karma case.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool, because in this case, all three main characters sort of take the wheel at various points in the trial. I think that's kind of neat. They're all, like, they all get a chance to be the main character in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes, yeah.
You get to the part where the judge gets his chance to be the main character, and he's super excited.
Not yet. I really like it, though. And I was also going to mention, just watching the video footage that we have for this game, everyone's, clips that they sent to me, I noticed that people are starting to look kind of tired at this point in the game. Like I think you even say something to the effect of, all right, I got to finish this up. I got stuff to do. I think me, you, and Diana, the main three actors, I think we're all, at this point of the game, kind of spent with it.
We should have, like, recorded. I should have just, tried recording episode 4 separately on a different day rather than filming for like 2 hours.
Did you do all of yours on one day?
Yeah.
You did? Oh my gosh.
That's why I was tired.
I did one case per day, I think.
Oh. You were smarter than me.
Yeah. Well, I also ended up with so many more takes than I needed. It's actually slowing me down, like, going, just, like, picking the best take when I recorded each line, like, 8 different times or whatever, 10 different times sometimes. Like, for most of the other actors, they only recorded 2 takes, which is what I asked for, and it makes things... surprisingly, I think that's actually a lot easier and possibly even better that way. Because I only have to choose the best between 2 instead of the best among 10.
Interesting. Yeah. I think...
It's not something I would have thought of.
I had to kick everybody out of the house in order to record my stuff, mostly. So, actually, I think those one scenes in Case 2 that required me to be with a second person, that was done on a different day.
Okay.
But that was it, just those few scenes.
Yeah, I think in the case number 4, when I think there's definitely a point where Katie's like, "Are you finished yet?"
My wife interrupts because I was taking up too much time. Yeah, that sounds perfect.
I mean, it's fine. I don't think it's coming. I don't think it's coming across in the game at all. Like, nobody's acting is affected. It's just like in between takes, people are kind of like, you can kind of tell that they're over it.
Drops to the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Need to get some surge for those people. Yeah.
Yes. Do they this? Michael, my gas station doesn't have surge anymore.
Your gas station doesn't have surge anymore. When did they?
No.
When did they last have it? Because I got like one of the last cans of surge possible in my state, I think.
So I hadn't been going in since coronavirus happened, because I've haven't been going out that much, and I went out for the first time into the store at the gas station last weekend, and they were gone, and there wasn't a spot for them anymore. And then I went to another gas station, and they didn't have it either.
Oh man, I'm looking on the surge locator.
Yeah.
There's no place anywhere near us, but I imagine on the east coast. Well, they only let you search a distance of 10 miles. That's so sad.
There's not even, like, a place that sells soda within 10 miles of my house. There aren't stores within 10 miles of my house.
It's tragic. I guess it's just Burger King only now.
Our Burger King never has it in stock either. I've been there like a half dozen times just to get one of their weird flavored surges, and they never have any surge.
They don't have the purple surge? That's so sad. They always have it at our place.
They have signs all over the restaurant saying, "We have surge. Surge is here." And then when I push the stupid buttons on the stupid machine, there's never any surge. Not
tried
once.
Asking those people...
No, I haven't asked people.
It's like, guys, you maybe need a refill on the surge. How often do they refill those? Because those machines have like 300 different flavors, right?
Maybe the machine's just broken and nobody's wanted to say anything. So did you ever get, what is it, Coca-Cola Orange Vanilla?
I have not, I don't think. Is that the new one? Oh, yeah, I think I tried it the once and didn't really like it. It tasted like cream soda.
I really liked it a lot. I think we had it for the past like year or so, but I haven't been able to find that anymore either. It's just absolutely devastating. Wasn't really where I was hoping this podcast would go today, to be honest.
I had nothing. I had some ideas about writing stuff, but, you know, I'm not at the point where I'm going to try to do any new writing.
Let's see. Wow, yeah, I really didn't. I feel like I've made a lot of progress this month, but there's nothing really that interesting to talk about other than the fact that I've made this progress.
Oh, I got a question, I guess. So,
Yeah, please.
So I've been playing a lot of Super Mario Odyssey lately, just trying to 100% the game. So what was the reason you didn't like the game again?
It was too easy, is that what I said?
I guess. Is that it? Because they updated the game so you could actually turn off like the helpful arrow that tells you where to go next.
Oh, okay.
So I actually added a hard mode, I think. So I just thought I'd let you know. It's like, you thought the game was too easy? Well, there's a hard mode here. You get half as much health, and you have to find everything yourself. You can't just rely on the hint arrow always hovering above your head.
I also, like, never really tried to get... Is it stars in this game?
Power moons.
Power moons, sorry. I never like tried to 100%. I didn't really try to get all the power moons. I just got all the ones I needed to get to the next level, so there's probably still a lot of gameplay I could get out of it anyway.
Yeah, that's the way my stepdaughter plays it. She gets mad at me for trying to 100% it. It's like, why are you going back? You've got the 10 in this world.
Yeah.
I need 10 to go on to the next world, but there are 60 here.
No, I'm with her.
Because overall, there are, like, 500. You only need 124, but you can find a total of 880 power moons. Jeez.
Okay, see, that seems like a lot, though.
You could take that number up to 999 if you buy duplicates. What? That sounds like you can glitch the number of power moons. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's way too many. I wouldn't want 100% that. Like, I didn't 100% Mario 64 when there was only 120.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey speedrun for all 880 moons is 8 hours and 16 minutes. So, gosh.
Wow.
It's like 100 moons per hour. I that's really fast, though. That's more than one moon per minute, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I probably wanted there to be, like, more worlds, too. More worlds, less moons. I don't want to spend, you know, forever in one level getting all 200 moons. I like, you know, exploring new environments. Oh, and the food world, Have you played the Food World?
I have not been to it yet. Is it awesome?
Oh, it made me want to throw up every time I played it. Like there was just, like, looking at the screen and looking at all, like, the stuff sloshing around, like, it legit made me nauseous. I couldn't play that world at all. I had to get Lizzo to play that whole section for me, because every time I opened my eyes, I felt sick.
Oh, no.
So you might need your stepdaughter to go through that section if you're anything like me.
The Luncheon Kingdom. She's already excited to, she likes it, so.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the one I'm thinking about, yeah.
Yeah, so there are 14 different worlds.
I feel bad thinking about it.
Ugh. I don't know how many worlds are in Super Mario 64. I feel like it's less than 14, but didn't each world only have, like, seven different things? I guess I could be wrong.
Yeah, like 7 stars per world.
If there's 120 in all, so that, I don't know.
There are 15 worlds. Wow, it feels like a lot more than that to me, but, you know, I haven't played it in a while. Oh, I legitimately feel sick now, thinking about that stupid world.
Luncheon Kingdom. I've got to see some screenshots of this.
It's you need to see it in motion. There's something very wobbly about it that I could not handle.
That looks a bit strange. It looks very stylized. That looks like, I don't know, that looks like early DS graphics. So here's another random thing I was looking at yesterday was if they were going to make a Legend of Zelda dating sim,
yes.
Why haven't they?
I mean, Nintendo hasn't really made a lot of dating sims, have they?
I don't really think they've made any, have they? Huh.
No. Or like visual novels in general, it's not really their thing.
Yeah, they've added elements of that to the Fire Emblem game, but the last one, I guess I'll play that at some point, but it was kind of difficult for me. It's weird because Fire Emblem, you probably know, it's like a game where people fight each other, but I played it, you know, I did the first battle, and then it was like an hour. It was sort of like some weird Hogwarts storyline where I'm basically in a castle and there are teachers, they're professors, and you can join one of the three houses. And I think the name of the game is Fire Emblem, like the Three Houses.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, when am I going to get back to armies beating the crap out of each other? Because it was basically, I needed to explore the entire castle and find all the members of my house after picking which professor I like. It totally threw me off. So I feel like Nintendo's adding elements. Okay, yeah, when you just look for Nintendo Dating Sim, they just say, here are dating sims available on the Switch.
Okay, wait, I got it. Okay, you know how there was that game, I think it was on the Switch, I'm not sure, it was called Let's Go Pikachu?
Mm-hmm.
How about Let's Date Pikachu?
Yes. Yes, that might work.
Something where you have to go on a date with all, let's limit it to, you have to date just all 151 Pokemon from the original Gen 1.
That would be
you have to go on a date with every sim.
That'd be pretty different as a dating sim, having to date like 100 people.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. I don't think it would be necessarily like a speed dating thing. I mean, yeah. What do you think? Would it just be like you have like a 5-minute segment with each character? And then at the end, like, you have to just have a good date with each character, something like that.
I guess, isn't there, like, a dating sim where it's, like, you know, 10,000 husbands or 10,000 wives?
Is there?
I thought there was something silly or strange like that. 10,000
husbands.
In the Pokemon, you're always, like, fighting the Pokemon, right? So instead of just fight, you want to fight and capture each one. But instead, it's going on a date with each one, and that's how you capture them all. You capture their hearts.
You have to. That's what I was just gonna say.
Yeah.
I kind of think we should make a game. Okay, wait. 10 billion husbands. Is that what you're talking
10
about?
10 billion wives.
What?
10 billion husbands.
What?
There's a male
the
and a female version of this.
Oh, it's a cookie clicker game. This isn't a VN.
That is... you're right, that is not a VN.
This is totally different. No, but I do strongly think now that we need to make a dating sim where you have to date 101 different people.
101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. 101 Date-mations? That's nothing. Yeah, I can see, like, yeah, each character you have, like, no more than a 5-minute segment with each one, and your basic goal is just get, like, a positive or negative, or no, your goal is to get a positive reaction out of the date. And you just have to, yeah, do the right thing in each one. Gotta date them all.
Yeah. It looks like the 10 billion wives, 10 billion husbands have a sequel, 20 billion wives. It looks like it's just the same thing. They just switched out.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extremely good name.
So what did you say? Did you set a cookie clicker? Is that a genre?
I mean, I think the genre is just clicker. It's like the game Cookie Clicker. Have you ever played that?
No, but is it similar to, like, these tap game, idle tap games or something?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's it, yeah. I don't know. Elizabeth and I were addicted to Cookie Clicker for exactly one night, and then she made us both close the tabs and delete our account so we'd never play it again.
Aww.
It was too much. We spent all night playing this stupid game where you don't even do anything. Where you just click on the screen and try to make as many cookies as you can. It was very entertaining, but I could have spent my entire life just playing that game, not, you know, sleeping or eating, just playing Cookie Clicker. It was bad news.
Okay, Wikipedia calls it's called an incremental game, also known as an idle game, a clicker game, or clicking games. Or video games where the gameplay consists primarily of simple actions like clicking the screen repeatedly. In some games, the clicking becomes unnecessary after a time. The game will play itself in the player's absence.
Well, yeah, because you can buy upgrades that click for you.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. I need to think about the Mario game again, so I want to throw up instead of wanting to play this game.
Well, I mean, and like I said, I think I said last time, it's like, those games are fun, but they constantly update the game and raise the levels, so you have to click more times. And so it just, at some point, it becomes basically impossible. Then I said, yeah, just buy the early version of the game and then never update.
Right.
Never, ever update. Oh, man. Yeah, Cookie Clicker does not have a victory condition. It goes on forever.
You mean, I'm just looking at 10 billion husbands. The goal is to unlock each of the husbands that can be purchased with love. Love is earned over time by husbands who provide a certain amount of LPS or love per second.
Some husbands are more loving per second. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's just real life.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to close every single one of these tabs on my screen right now. They're all making me sick in different ways.
Okay.
All right, yeah, so we have a question this month from Timothy Mark, who you will all get to see at some point in Internet Court. He plays the character Wirt Everly. But he has a question for us this month. How did you both meet, and what spawned your creative partnership? And I think it's safe to say that those two things dovetail together. I mean, we first met working together at Game Cola.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure that. Do you remember who approached who first? Like, how that worked out?
Yeah, I approached you first, I believe. I was part of the Game Cola subscriber. It used to be a letter, or no, it was a magazine.
Our newsletter. Oh.
So
newsletter days.
Anyway, I knew you sent me something every month, and at one month you send out a call for new writers or new columns, so I threw you an idea called Inside the Guide.
That's sort of the long and the short of it. We started working Game Cola, the website I ran for a number of years. Michael started writing a column for it, and then at some point I left Game Cola to focus more on video game development. And from what I recall, I had written a blog post on my very short-lived game dev blog, saying I was interested in working on a visual novel and seeing if there was anyone who wanted to work on with me. And again, you stepped up and emailed me, and we made My Nigerian Prince.
Yeah, that was great. I was like, I think it was a strange choice for our first thing, but I feel like it was a great decision.
Hey, I think it holds up. It's a great game. It's a very weird game.
I love the opening, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I think, too, that one has one of, like... Yeah, I think that the title screen, there's, like, really good music that I found for the title screen to the point where I wish I didn't use it in that game so that I could use it in other games. Yeah, that's available on Steam right now as part of the Francie Drew and Friends collection, our first ever game that we worked on. As for meeting with Michael in real life, we met in real life for the very first time at Michael's wedding. In real life for the very first time at my wedding, right?
It's the only time we've met. Yeah, wedding. You got married before me.
Yeah, and then we met the second time was at your wedding, and those are the only times.
Yep.
Only when people get married are we allowed to meet.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens when you live on opposite ends of the country. So I, while we were talking, I was digging through my email, and I think I found the first email you ever sent me.
Oh, dear.
It was from when Game Cola used to run those monthly contests where we were just, like, basically begging people to write comments on our articles. It was called Free Stuff for Feedback. We did a monthly contest where if someone said something they liked about the previous issue, they would be entered into a contest to win random crap that I had in my house.
I remember that, yes.
And it seems that you won. You enjoyed our review of The Adventures of Willy Beamish.
That's right. We played it together.
We did. It seems that you won a set of Spice Girls VHS tapes for that.
I had to send it to my parents' house using a fake name, as I recall.
Yes, I was gonna say that you had me send it to Fred Barnes.
Oh man,
who's Fred Barnes?
I don't know.
Oh,
we started getting mail for that person at some point.
We still got a few more minutes. Have you been playing any interesting games or anything besides Odyssey?
Lost Lands. So my walkthrough for Lost Lands has gone sort of viral for me.
Oh, cool.
With just all sorts of views, and I don't know why.
Lost Lands, you said it's called?
So Lost Lands, Dark Overlord.
I've never heard of this game.
Me neither. Oh, wait, I have.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say, I feel like you have heard of it.
Yeah, so I did this walkthrough February 7th, 2014. February 2014, and it basically stayed in like the zero zone. Nobody watched any of these videos after like the original release, and it stayed in the zero zone, stayed in zero for years, and then for whatever reason, the game started picking up steam again around here, October 2018. And so it's just been slowly getting more and more views to the point where it... Oh, well, only 100 views per day doesn't sound like much.
I mean, it's a lot to me.
Yeah. So all in all, it's got 344,000 views.
Wow! That feels like a very large number! Oh. So is that like... Is that significantly more than your Nancy Drew videos usually get, or is it about the same, or less, or... Like, how does that compare?
Significantly more, so...
Oh, wow!
It's not the most popular video I've done, but generally with my videos, it's the first video of a walkthrough that people watch.
Yeah, yeah.
So, part six, it's just only... What do you call it? I've only got two videos that have gotten more views than 192,000. I've only had one video get more than 200,000 views. And just because this video, let's see, how has it been doing this year, because it keeps getting like, gosh, over 400 views per day, or gosh, yeah, no, it's been getting over 100 views per day for like the past year. Just because of that, you know, it's just been slowly making its way up my most watched charts. But yeah, no, just out of nowhere, for whatever reason, this walkthrough from 6 years ago has just been consistently getting tons of views.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I wonder where that comes from. Like, the series like suddenly became super popular, or like,
it looks like a lot of my views come from you know, like overseas, I think, from India and other places. But
Are there like other games in this series that you could also play or have played?
Yeah, so that's what I played. Yeah. So that's what I did recently was Icespell, the game from that.
Cool.
So one of their more recent games. I did a speed run, I tried to. So with my speed run, basically when I saw Lost Lands was getting a lot of views, I went back and did a speed run video for it.
Sure.
I did two of them. I know, one with commentary, one with no commentary. And the one with no commentary just got a ton of views. And that was all from people from not the United States. But I got a lot of complaints, or at least I got some complaints on that video, because I had, I skipped the puzzles because it was faster.
Yeah, it's a speed run.
Yeah. So I did a... So with this new speedrun I just did, I played the game on hard mode and didn't skip any of the puzzles.
Okay.
I feel like if people are watching it just to get, you know, like walkthrough help, then that's why.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but I mean, are you watching a speedrun specifically for a walkthrough, though? That seems weird to me.
I don't know why. I think maybe it could have been that they just wanted to watch the entire game in one video. So, I mean, I also went back to that popular game and it's like, here's this entire game in one video, and here's speedruns for the bonus game if people wanted to see that. So
it's cool though. I'm happy to see that games besides the Nancy Drew ones are being big hits for you, considering that the Nancy Drew series hasn't been doing super great lately.
Yeah, I just find it weird that my other walkthroughs for Lost Lands don't seem to have been doing so well, but maybe one of them will hit magic again. I don't know. So that's what I was trying to do, at any rate.
I started playing a new visual novel on the Switch called Our World Is Ended, which I thought looked kind of cool, because it's about a video game company making VR games, and I've been kind of into VR lately. The weird thing about it is I'm in the first like two or three chapters. I don't really know what the story is, and also every single character in the game is a huge pervert. Like, they just keep spending entire conversations talking about like underwear and making suggestive comments. It's like it makes me wonder, is this what it's like to work in a video game studio? I guess from what I hear about it, yes it is what it's like. It's just like the dude sitting around constantly sexually harassing all the women, and that's the game.
So are you playing as the woman who's getting sexually harassed?
No, you're one of the dudes doing the harassing.
You get to choose. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. They actually, so the choices, they do weird stuff with the choices. I've only made like four choices I think so far. And for most of them, like, they sort of have them scrolling horizontally across the screen, and you have to, like, quickly grab the choice that you want to make in any given situation. You have, like, no time to really think about it at all, and, like, if you think too long, the choice you want will be gone. It's kind of an interesting way to do that. And if you can also just miss all of them and not say anything. It's sort of a play on the way Telltale would do it. But the difference with Telltale is I think everything would just stay there on the screen, and you could either pick one or run at a time. With this one, it's like everything is moving around, and it's much harder to grasp what you're trying to do and want to do.
Yeah, or compare answers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's very interesting. I haven't really played long enough to decide if I actually like it or not. But it's definitely a very different way. I haven't seen games do that before. So that's what I've been playing. And also, yeah, like I said, VR. I'm in the middle of this platformer game on PlayStation VR called Astrobot, which is kind of like a 3D platformer, kind of like a Mario game, except that you and, like, the controller are things that exist in this 3D world. So, like, you, the player, are also in the world, and you have to, like, track the character with your actual head and, like, watch where they go. Like, your character stays in one position, and you kind of have to move your head around to see where your character is going. It's hard to describe, but I'm kind of in love with it. Like, I think it's such a fascinating way to do this. It's almost like if Mario was, like, in the real world right now and, like, doing backflips off your desk, like, and you were controlling him with a controller running around your office. Like, that's sort of what it's like.
That sounds difficult.
But then there are also parts, too, where, again, you, the person, have to physically do things. Like, there was a part where I had to move my head forward and smash it against a wall to break the wall down so I could then move the character through the empty space. It's fascinating to me. Like, I want to live in this game. I don't want to play any other 3D platformers that aren't like this now. I'm so into it.
Yeah, it feels like, or it sounds like, gosh, that one workout game for Switch, Ring Fit Adventure.
Oh, yeah, people are really into that.
Yeah, but it's nowhere to be purchased.
yeah, it's been cool. And you're right. It actually is like almost exercise adjacent. Like at the very least, when I'm playing Astrobot, I'm standing up the whole time. I'm moving around in my physical space to just for no other reason than to track the character. Like there's parts where I, Paul, have to like peek around a corner to figure out where I'm sending my character. It's so. Like, I haven't played a game that's made me feel like it gives me such a sense of, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is what video games can be. Like, I haven't felt that way, I don't think, since the N64 first came out and we moved from 2D to 3D. Like, it's that same sense of, oh my gosh, this is wild, I can't believe we can do this. So, highly recommended if you're, certainly if you're a PlayStation VR owner or if you're on the fence about getting PlayStation VR. Astrobot. Also, I want to do a VR visual novel now.
Virtual reality visual novel.
There is one. There it exists on PlayStation 4. It looks so bad, though. I mean, it's just like the background, instead of being a flat image, it wraps around you, and then the characters still like stand around and you still have regular text boxes, but everything sort of wraps around you. But I was kind of interested in it, but I read that the story was really bad and there's a lot of typos and stuff, so no need to check it out. Anyway, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen and Michael is at Arglefump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@ourrock.com. Is there anything that you would like to add, Michael?
I do not have 10 billion wives.
Not until you get that game, anyway.
Yeah, I don't think I'll make it all the way to the final level.
Telling you, think about it. Dating sim, 101 people you have to date. It's a winner.
Well, it's like 101 different pathways to write, though.
It's true. All right.
We need 101 different writers, yeah.
Bye. Yes, that's how we do it! There, you said you wanted someone to boss around. How about 100 people to boss around?
Oh, that'll be great.
Oh, all right. Coming soon by O-Rock Studios. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Oh. No! No, I didn't. Oh no, Michael stopped his recording. Oh, this is gonna be real bad. It's June. Oh, the podcast is over. Oh no.
Okay.